The Lake Forest Podcast is supported by viewers, listeners, and businesses just like you. Looking for the best pool supplies? Look no further than Doheny's Pool Supplies. With a history dating back to 1967, this family-owned business offers everything families need to keep their pools clean and sparkling, from chemicals to equipment. Plus, customers enjoy free shipping on all orders. Visit Doheny's Pool Supplies today at doheny.com, D-O-H-E-N-Y.com, to learn more. Forest Bluff Real Estate Team serves Illinois, Wisconsin, Lake Forest, and Lake Bluff. John Josephitis, Laura Lee Van Fleet, and of course, Michelle Parnell. Get a free market analysis now at ForestBluffRealEstate.com. For the best cannabis in the world, look no further than Iliad Epic Grow. Owned by Lake Bluff's own Rich Ruzich, they are a cannabis cultivation center focusing on hard-to-find small-batch products that will delight both the occasional user and gangier. When visiting Michigan, ask for it by name. Epic Products, exceptional process. For more information, email info@iliadgrow.com. Havy Communications has been helping first responders arrive safely since 1983. It's owned by Lake Forest's own Mike Havy. Check them out at HavyCommunications.com. We'd also like to say we're thankful for our Patreon supporters: Matt A., Elizabeth C., Costa, Lance, Otto, RDM, John C., and Helen. Shout out to the Lake Forest Breakfast Group, Broad Stop and Captain Mike's in Kenosha, the Greentown Tavern, and the Frolic Lounge in Waukegan.
All right, Pete, you're on the road.
I'm on the road. The show must go on. Well, Lake Bluff got named one of the best beaches in the country. I think it got, did it get ranked over Forest Park?
It was a weird thing. It was something about hidden beaches. It wasn't. The Lake Bluff beach is nowhere near as nice as the Lake Forest beach. It's not even remotely close. I was kind of surprised by that, although. I don't know what's so hidden about it. It's, well hidden. I'm not too sure what was going on there. I did read the article about it and just walked away puzzled by why is that here. We did win. Lake Bluff did win a couple of years ago a survey of the 10 most beautiful seaside villages.
Yeah,
which everyone was quite amused by, considering that we're about 1,000 miles from the sea.
So Joe's going to come on and talk about Lake Forest 101, what he learned.
Yeah,
and,
I'd like to hear about that. I think that sounded like a good idea.
And I'm going to address the cancel culture a little bit so I get the rest of these FOIAs back. The stuff that I've asked is... hey, City of Lake Forest. Hey, Lake Forest High School. Please send me all communications regarding the Lake Forest podcast. So,
okay, we'll see what we get on that.
They play the game of, well, that's too broad a scope. I'm like, okay, then how about this? Let's narrow it down to Jason Wisha. because he has told people not to come on the show, and he's told the city employees not to come on the show. Well, if he won't come on and the city employees won't come on, the elected officials won't come on, it gives the impression of, we're trying to hide something. And I like Jason.
Yeah, I like Jason.
But I don't like that, what is there? Like, we're getting the treasurer, and she screwed up, or it's a she, right? I forget.
Yes, Holly Kim. Yeah.
Holly. Yeah, she screwed up, and she's going to come on and talk about it. Here's Joe.
Look at you.
What up, player?
Look at you, man. Look at this. I think you better, dude, you got to pull over when you're doing a
podcast.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, officer.
Attorney Lester, no, seriously, there was a township official that got in trouble for this during the pandemic. She did a Zoom meeting in her car.
I kind of agree with Joe here. This may not be the best idea.
It's not going to be my last worst idea either.
You can pull. Can't you just pull over for an hour, or your time?
I'm like 10 minutes away where I gotta be. So
all right.
I believe this is a hands free operation, is it not?
I believe there is a law that says you cannot conduct a video meeting in a moving vehicle.
Got
this
it.
This came up in Northfield Township with the township supervisor was late for a Zoom meeting when everybody was meeting on Zoom during the pandemic. So she was late for the Zoom meeting and she was driving and it made like NBC5.
So Joe, talk to me about Lake Forest 101, man. What'd you learn? Was Kathy Zerniak there?
Kathy Zerniak, as always, was the host with the most. We went on a bus tour all around the city, seeing all the different development areas, you know, started out at the office out by next to Hallis Hall, went, you know, every part of town you can think of with development, some subdivisions I didn't even know existed because I'm fairly new to town, but on the south end, like towards Highland Park and some stuff off of Old Elm Road. And some new subdivisions there.
Did they have any talk about? Did they stop and have any talk about the area that is? Conway Farms.
We went through it.
Area. There's a whole development that is being a property that was marketed. They had a potential grocery store, supermarket that was interested a couple of years ago, but then that fell through. But I think that's still for sale.
Yeah, we went through that. We went through a number of other areas.
Did she tell you what Knollwood was?
Knollwood's not part of Lake Forest, so we stopped at the city line, sir.
No one knows what Knollwood is.
I don't think Knollwood knows what Knollwood is.
No, Knollwood does not know what Knollwood is.
We're going to start podcast one time.
Hold on. We did a podcast that talked about Knollwood. I thought it was part of Lake Forest.
Knollwood is unincorporated area that is between Lake Forest, Lake Bluff, Green Oaks, and North Chicago.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Well, I guess that question could have come up, Joe.
But you know, a very interesting thing came up. We went by the infamous property on Westminster, where our friend Scoo Walker got verbally assaulted a few months back. And, you know, a number of people had questions and stuff. And we, you know, looked at the property. And I didn't know I'm new to this. And there's a lot of litigation back and forth. But there's a single family residential home that will buffer that property to the house next door Scoo got assaulted, assaulted Scoo, verbally assaulted him and his wife and his dog when they were out walking.
Yeah, the dog is pushing things, you know.
Yeah, really. I mean, where's the dog?
You can't yell at Cooper.
But they, and Kathy made a very interesting point. She said, look, you know, Lake Forest isn't a museum. Okay, we have a lot of great history here. We've preserved a lot of great stuff, but you can't freeze the city in time. You know, I really think if Market Square was being proposed today, the same people that are Block the Box and Transparency and supported Prue Beidler in the election, they'd be opposing Market Square. I mean, that was a radical project for its day. And
that was the first shopping center in the country.
Yeah. And I bet you there'd be people, we don't want this. We don't want a shopping center in our town. And they actually moved buildings to other parts of downtown or CBD, whatever you want to call it, to build Market Square. So can you imagine that project today? But another point she made, it was very interesting, was, and again, she only administers the policies that the city council decides. The city council ultimately makes decisions.
Right.
But she did caution that, you know, when you have development, and we actually on the tour later on, we went through an area near Waukegan Road, near the train station, that was a court-ordered development. So there was apparently some lawsuits back and forth. And ultimately, the court ruled the development. And you got to really, you know, nothing against the people that live there or anything, but it's a really bad development. I mean, it doesn't fit any standards of the city. It doesn't look like Lake Forest. It does, the streets are really narrow. The homes aren't that, the property values are probably low compared to most of Lake Forest. Again, nothing wrong with people living there and everything, but it's really when the city lost control because they let a court decide. And so it's probably better, you know, we have all these lawsuits with development. Probably better to let the city be involved in the development to at least bring it to some standards rather than just saying, no, we're not going to have any development. And then letting it, having a court come in and say, yeah, you're going to build this development as they want.
The people that are bitching about this, just hypothetically, okay, they buy a property that is not surrounded by whatever, and as development happens, things change. And when things change, it affects their, I don't know, they're used to looking at the area that they live in a certain way, and when it affects them, they bitch and complain, and then they sue. Is that right? Like if you move next to a school, can you really get pissed because they're trying to put tennis courts in?
Well, it's like people that moved near Hallis Hall. It's like, yeah, they play football there. You right. Move next to the Bears training center. Be glad you got one of 30 NFL training sites in the country in your backyard. That's a cool thing, in my opinion, to have. Don't complain that the Bears are playing loud music every once in a while.
Well, the reason I bring it up is it's not so much they care about the historical aspect of it, is it's a selfish aspect that it's affecting their living arrangement.
Sure, everybody wants to be the last one to move into the city. They want their development wants to be the last one, and they don't, oh, that's it, no more.
Well, I will disagree with both of you on this. One problem that there has been in our area is that when they do zoning changes, when they change uses of property, they need to be careful that the uses are harmonious and compatible and will not be jarring in the very way that you just described, Joe. And that has been a problem around in this area. We need to have so you don't provoke the neighbors, so that you don't create fights. They do need, and the city has every right in the world to make sure that zoning is harmonious and compatible with the existing areas. You don't put, in the classic sense, a iron smelting plant next to a single family home.
No. Yeah.
And you do need to be careful about that. And that has been the problem that you just described. This one area that looks radically different. Well, that's bad land use. That's bad planning. And yeah, you can blame it on.
Give me a for instance, right?
Court may well have been some help in that. But
an iron smelter is kind of going way out there.
Joe, where was that?
It was Mara. I wish I had it in front of me. I'll look it up and we'll have Pete put it up.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's near that train station. The Westlake Forest train station.
Westlake Forest.
You turn off on a side street and there's this little it starts with like Mar. M-A-R, and then it's got
affordable housing?
Not Mar-a-Lago. That's President Trump's home.
Mar-a-Lago is not affordable housing, no.
This is, and look, like I said, I'm not casting aspersions on the neighborhood or the people that live there. I'm sure it's all fine people and everything, but it's just, you look at it like, man, the bus we were in could barely get through. So imagine a garbage truck or a fire engine. I mean, it was just, it's crazy.
Exactly what you're talking about there. Much less why the court would, it would be very strange for the court to order creation of streets that are smaller than what the building code requires.
I think there's this delicate balance here. Look, no one wants Lake Forest to become Schaumburg or some community that's all new. Of course, Schaumburg is maturing as a community, and there's nothing wrong with Schaumburg. It's nice people there.
Yeah, no,
good place. But
that's why we're in Lake Forest.
Lake Forest has traditions and Lake Forest has a great history, but that doesn't mean you save every single structure. I mean, some of these structures are beyond their their life use. They, for whatever reason, they weren't maintained and stuff. And I get, and the cost and the whole thing, taking it back to the Central Business District and the whole Block the Box campaign that, you know, and Drew Bidler embraced that or tried to get those votes, at least when she was running against Randy Tack. You know, it's really kind of short-sighted. If you just leave everything exactly the way it is, the community's, the area's going to fall apart eventually.
Yeah, you have to have new buildings. You have to have new buildings, but there's also no reason why new buildings can't be, well, as I said, compatible with what's there now.
Sure. Look, Market Square.
That was the problem with Block the Box. That was the complaint against Block the Box, was that rather than a single family home, it was a three-story, and I never really got into all the details of it, but it was a three-story building that was built out to the lot lines and thus was not compatible with the area around it. The developers are very good people. They're local respected developers who've done a good job on other projects. How it's going to work out, I hope it will work out well and everybody will end up being satisfied with it.
You had three this is
the problem you run into.
I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. What was there before was three crappy office buildings. Dennis, you know, was there. You had some dumpsters and some blank land, and now you got a pretty decent looking complex there. And I'm trying to figure out how that doesn't fit in. I understand the crap hit the fan when Mr. T started cutting out some what's that called, buckthorn.
Although the problem is he wasn't cutting out buckthorn; he was cutting out.
He's cutting out this green on Green Bay Road. Buckthorn.
Yes.
Yeah, it started with buckthorn, and a lot of people are getting crap for cutting out buckthorn, even though it's an invasive species, so I hear.
Yeah,
I mean, into my point,
and buckthorn is obviously an issue here. A good majority of the tree canopy is actually buckthorn.
Case in point, counselor.
Yes.
But it's nice that, Joe, you could hear from Kathy Zerniak on that stuff. Every time I've tried to call her, she always picks up the phone, seems like a straight up person, and she didn't tell me this, but I'm kind of guessing it, she can't come on the phone and talk to people about this stuff.
Well,
she can only go on a bus tour and hear from her.
Well, I highly recommend Lake Forest 101, and I think she's very accessible to residents when they have development issues, whether it's, you know, additions to your house or all that types of stuff. You know, in terms of the public facing, the city, like many units of government these days, has made a decision that employees don't talk to the press, don't talk to podcasts like this. And it either goes through the manager or the spokesman or whatever. And so, you know, I have a friend that's a reporter in Central Illinois, and he used to be able to walk into City Hall in the cities that he'd cover and just go in and talk to the public works director or the police chief or whoever about whatever story he was working on. And then one day they're like, oh, you got to see so-and-so. She's the official spokesperson now for the city. So, you know, everything is regulated that way. I get it. I've been a government employee. I don't talk about my work to the media. I follow the protocols that I'm directed to do, you know, and a lot of it is there's this whole thing called message discipline. They're worried about a random employee saying something that they don't want said. Yeah. And, you know, we got an attorney here on the podcast.
Yeah, they're trying to guide the message and stay on where they want.
So that said, I get that. I can appreciate that you don't want frontline employees talking to the media or to a podcast like this.
Getting told.
What about
But there needs to be someone who can. There needs to be a spokesperson who can.
Yeah.
And I, as a former elected official, 12 years.
District 219.
219 and Village of Morton Grove.
Village of Morton Grove.
I wish there had been podcasts like this back when I was an elected official, because I would have come on any chance you'd ask me.
Because
I want to get my message out. I'm accountable.
Yeah, well, this is a media. We are the accountable media for this stuff.
I felt accountable to the community. I didn't follow the prescription of no. I'm not. I mean, if there was pending litigation, I wouldn't comment on pending litigation. I get that. And there's certain confidential things like personnel matters and things that you can't publicly discuss. Those are specifically laid out.
Were you an elected official?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Three times. I won three elections.
All right. The aldermen, they're elected officials, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the aldermen are trying to come on. If any alderman, they're not going to tell aldermen they can't come on.
Oh, I know they did. Hey, Jason, I know you told the aldermen not to come on. And they say, well, we want the mayor to do the speaking, but the mayor won't come on. Now, this is George Pandaleon. We're letting Randy Tack come into place. But I'm just wondering why Jason, who I like, who seems like a transparent guy, it seems to me that this is alleged hypothetical, but I've been told on this podcast that I'm 90% right. So I'm going to take the odds on this one. Somebody calls Jason to say, hey, you can't have those people on the podcast. They can't talk about that. That's cancellation, okay? You can't do that. You make the 20% happy and the other 80% think there's some conspiracy going on.
Yeah, I respect Jason. I think he does great work for the city.
Yeah, I do too.
I think the city is extremely well run. And he does a great job. I've watched him in these Lake Forest 101 sessions. He wasn't at the bus tour, but he was at the other sessions. Does a great job. And that's not easy. Running the city is a lot of work. I totally appreciate that. And you got to bring your A game every day for Lake Forest.
Yeah.
So he does that. And I my hat's off to him on that. And like I said, I totally get keeping the employees from speaking because you want that. But policymakers, elected officials, you can advise them. That's fine. And they should advise them on things because we don't want political hacks like in Chicago and stuff making crazy decisions. You want advice from professionals. But And he can advise, hey, maybe don't talk about this thing because it's in litigation, or don't talk about this because it's a personnel matter. That's fair. But in terms of the general public policy and the direction, you know, ultimately, these guys aren't accountable to any staff members. They're accountable to the voters. That's how I felt it. Anytime a reporter came up to me, and we had more reporters back then, the demise of the local press is a real tragedy in democracy today. I mean, look, the Chicago Tribune can barely function now compared to the way the Tribune used to be. So take that down now to the local levels. You got one reporter covering the whole North Shore. Instead of years ago, they had a reporter on all these different beats. Pete, my point here is that whether it's reporters or the general public, I would urge anyone that's an elected official, an alderman, a school board member, talk to your voters. And this is a way to talk to your voters. You're ultimately going to be on the ballot. This is a great way for people to know you and know where you stand. And this is a great tool. Thousands of people watch this podcast every week. So don't cut off your face. I get it. There's certain things you can't talk about. But
don't talk about them.
Yeah, just say, look, that subject is off limits because of X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
But let's talk public policy. Because I'd like to hear how the school board members came to the public decision of giving somebody a raise like they did right after a tax increase. I'd like to hear where, you know, and again, I think the city is extremely well run. I think it's a great thing. So I think they can come on and be a very positive experience and talk about all the great things that the city of Lake Forest is doing.
Do you ever think that maybe these guys like the fact that there is no media anymore? Maybe this is actually
Organic.
You know, it's funny you say that, Rick, because back when I was on the board in 219, we used to have like five reporters. We had like Pioneer Press. We had the Learner newspaper. We had the Journal and Topics. And our board meetings were pretty heated back in the 80s and 90s. I was on in the 90s. We had a couple of strikes and stuff. So a lot of tension. 219 got a lot more press than a lot of other school boards in the area. One of the newspapers back then, I think, went under, Learner Life. And we were all kind of joking, well, that's one less reporter to bug us. But, you know, I think it's bad. I really think it may be nice in the short run that, I'm not as accountable. But, you know, the problem is less and less people are caring about local government. People I happened to spend some time with some relatives over the holiday weekend, and they're talking about national stuff and things they hear on national cable and national stuff. And they had no idea what's going on in their own community. They had no idea what's going on in their own backyard. They're more interested in what the latest thing is in Washington or national.
Look, the Lake County people, they have no problems coming on. Mattawa has no problem coming on. Okay, I don't even know why I'm bothering to stick with Lake Forest. The transparency piece, like, there's nothing to hide.
No, look, I think the mayoral election showed. Look, Randy Tack came on the podcast. Prue Beidler did not. How did that work out for Prue?
Yeah, I agree.
I think Prue passed up a chance to get
voters who were otherwise against her.
I think Prue lost a lot of votes. I can't tell you if that is what ultimately. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think cost her the election. No offense to her, but I think that her failure. She tried to control. She tried to over control her campaign, make it very formula, all these internet ads and stuff, direct mail pieces,
very much out in the box.
Controlled meetings. You know, come to my open house where only I will screen questions. And that one debate, which was really screened. But my point here, Pete, is if she had chosen to come on, I think people would have seen her in a different light. And I think Randy Tack choosing to come on helped his campaign because here's a guy that's willing to answer questions.
Look, we keep kicking this dead horse. This dead horse is dead. The two things that what I've seen in my experience of doing this, okay, look, politics are involved. I think that whoever's leading the government is trying to ride the middle, okay? The left, the conservatives, the outliers on that side. This is Pete Jansen saying this because I've witnessed it. Somebody makes a call to someone and then it's silence. Nothing happens, number one. Number two, if you talk about, let's just say, the schools, if you don't talk a certain way about the schools, you are suddenly no longer on a podcast anymore, hypothetically, allegedly. Okay. So they are grasping at straws to try to control what truth is going out there. Look, I don't watch the news. I want to create the news, meaning that this is what I see. This is my opinion. Somebody sees something different. Come on the show and tell us. All of us have met people in the public and they say, hey, you know what? I didn't know about that till I heard it from you guys. So if they don't hear it from us, then who are they going to hear it from? The communications person about the schools, Melissa Oakley, who, oh my God, that data breach we haven't even talked about yet. All right.
The data breach is a great example. Let's go to that because this was something that went out there. A lot of people were directly affected by it and saw it. And yet I'm hearing nothing about it. Why is that?
Well, because they're hoping that we stop talking about it.
Because there's no local newspaper to cover it. If that had happened when I was on the District 219 school board with four newspapers in town, I think five at one point, one of those reporters, somebody would have dropped a dime to one of those reporters, and that reporter would have tried to beat his, because they were competitive. We had one guy, like, he would sneak into the back hallway to listen to executive sessions during labor contract negotiations so he could get a scoop for a story. That's how aggressive the journalism was back then. This would have been all over the local press if this had happened, if this data breach had happened, local journalism.
They have succeeded in keeping this under the rug, even though it was quite vocal, quite public.
And maybe but there's they, a good, maybe succeeded. There's a
nobody's talking about it. Nobody knows about it.
Maybe they have a good, this is the part that gets me, is whether it's this thing or the salary increases that Montgomery did after the tax hike referendum passed. Maybe they have an explanation. You know, and I've talked to a couple people that know Matt Montgomery. They say he's a decent guy. I've never met him. But come on and tell your side. We're very friendly. We'll let you.
I'm not.
Even well, better, you, we're all remote.
I think they, I mean, we're here. let me make
sure. Screw me once. We're gonna
talk about this subject whether you come on or not. So if I were you, I'd come on and at least get my side in, because otherwise we're going to talk about it and your side's not going to come out on this.
And you know what? Maybe they can get their own podcast going, because I don't want to talk to those people.
Well, I think, look, I do. I would like to have Matt Montgomery on and have a conversation. You talked a minute about this canceling people, this whole cancel culture.
I'm canceling them.
Look, people will say, oh, my God, he had Jeff Brincat and Frank McCormick on, so I don't want anything to do with that. It's like, okay, I don't agree with everything Parents Care stands for. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm not a social conservative. They've been very clear on that. So some of the stuff that they've talked about on social issues, I don't agree with. Okay. So, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to them. That means I'm not going to come on and give my side. I mean, you remember the show I used to love, and he just passed away a couple of years ago, Larry King Live on CNN.
Yeah.
He'd have everybody on. He'd have the right wingers, the left wingers, the centrists. You'd have Don Rickles on, you know. I mean, he had anybody.
Howard Stern and Dave Emery on, yeah.
You know, and he played fair, and if you got on Larry King's show, you got your points across, whether you were a right wing conservative or a left wing liberal, and that's what I think you can do here, and you have done. I mean, Matt Montgomery did come on the podcast when he wanted to sell the difference. Matt Montgomery came on the podcast and his referendum, the district referendum, passed.
Yeah.
Kurt Beidler did not come on the podcast and she lost.
Coincidence? Well, I think not.
getting back to Kathy Zerniak, we want to give her props because, look, we all know she gets a lot of crap because she's got to toe the line on what you can and can't do, right, in the building stuff. That's the perception. And I know it's not like that. It is, but it isn't. And she's a cool chick. I won't ever come on, hey, talk about it. I want the sanitation guys to come on. Hey, tell me about how many stickers you got to put on those damn cans because we don't throw the right stuff in the recycling. Let's talk about that, right?
Let's talk Jason? About the dump. That's a great. That is
the dump would be topic. A great show. I think the dump would be the most watched show.
Yeah, people are passionate about the dump. I will tell you, Lake Bluff has a much better dump than Lake Forest. I recently had the occasion to take stuff to the Lake Forest dump. You can only make one trip a day.
Lake Forest is run by, you know, I will say this because I used to, when I was a trustee back in the day, I was the representative for Morton Grove on the SWANC board, Solid Waste Agency of Northern Cook County.
Okay, yeah. So no, Lake County is SWALCO. Yes.
Yeah, so SWANC and SWALCO. And so I learned more about trash and garbage and recycling than I cared to know. But what I learned in that was about the do's and don'ts of recycling and how if you do the recycling the right way, it actually saves the community money. We can all debate the environmental benefits of it. Some people say it helps the environment. Some people say it doesn't. But the fact is, if you recycle the right way, you get the cans in and stuff, especially because that generates revenue and reduces landfill costs. Forget the environmental issues of landfills. It reduces costs. It actually, and that's where I think Lake Forest, because Lake Forest tends to have a business approach. I can't speak to Lake Bluff. But Lake Forest is run by business people. Essentially, you've got a mayor who was, yes, he's a doctor, but he was the head of Illinois Bone and Joint Institute or managing partner of it. So he's got a business sense. We've always had business people very heavily involved in this community. So they look at it as this is not just an environmental do good thing, but it's also a smart business move if we do it the right way. And they did that whole Bart the Cart thing and stuff to educate of what to recycle, what not, because it costs money if you throw stuff in that shouldn't be recycled. Can't speak to, and I come from a place that didn't have any dump. So I was just excited that I could just take my garbage on Saturdays or Sundays in the summer.
The Lake Bluff place is like a social activity. I mean, that's where the guys are hanging out on a Saturday morning. They're not playing golf. That's where they are, is at the dump.
One trip a day.
I mean, like
per car.
If you're trying to get things out, you know, one trip a day is not sufficient.
Well, I got four cars.
As well as it's not open.
Hold on.
The Lake Bluff dump.
I have four drivers. I got four cars, Rick.
That's my Audi A7. My I can't really haul a lot of trash in the A7. It's just not well designed for that purpose.
Or should you?
This wasted energy that I have, guys, is, hey, Jason, I'm talking to you. Things are happening. They're trying to control what you say and don't say. You're being canceled. And in doing so, you're not being transparent. Look, if we can get everybody else to come on the show, you know, why can't you? If you don't want to come on, then stop telling other people not to come on. You're not like that. You're trying to be impartial.
Pete, let me address that. Let's address the elephant in the room, pun intended.
Yeah.
People think this is a politically biased podcast. They think because of how we took on Prue and we took on Susan Garrett, who's a former Democratic state legislator, that we're biased. But we've had Democrats on. And Susan Garrett is still welcome to come on this podcast.
No, by all means.
It doesn't matter. They don't care.
You had Anthony Vega on. We had Leon Rockingham, who's a Democrat, mayor of North Chicago.
Yes. Yeah, well, and
I think you're going to have an. I won't spoil. Hopefully, we'll have another guest in a couple weeks, but we're going to have a big name Democrat in a couple weeks here.
Yes, so I'm going to get a. You can tell, and you can tell her I'm going to get up early in the morning out in Arizona so that I can be on that one.
Yeah, well, let's keep the name secret so they don't get to her and tell her not to come on.
We're just kind of previewing it. Put a little taste out there.
Big name. Look, I mean, think of this as like Larry King Live for Lake Forest. All right.
It makes me think something's going on. Okay. So what I'm thinking is going on is I could look at Jason's voting record in the primaries and see that he's a Democrat the last few times, which is true. Maybe he's got friends and that's why he's trying to control the message. That's Pete Jansen's talking. Okay. Jason, I know that's not the case, but come on here and change my mind. Okay. Number two, the schools. It's amazing how we don't have a co-host on here anymore. The listeners and viewers can connect the dots. After that breach of the school and us talking about the schools more, there's a reason why there's different co-hosts on the show. So that when people don't come on and they're not transparent and they're not straight up, this is what happens. And that's how I address it. That's not how Joe addresses it or Rick addresses it, but that's how Pete Jansen's addressing it.
Oh, Pete, I've been told by people I shouldn't be on here too. And yes, it is cancel culture in my view. You don't like what we say, okay, don't listen to us. You know.
Yeah, I think cancel culture is a horrible, horrible thing. I mean,
it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing if you don't got stones. I got stones, you got stones, Rick's got stones. So unless you push back, you allow these idiots to do what they're trying to do.
But here's what I don't understand. Why is it that people think because you talk to Parents Care or whoever it may be, that therefore they shouldn't come on and give their perspective? We
maybe
want
this
everyone
is the result of the Fox News CNN dichotomy. Where you only talk to your echo chamber.
Yeah, this is.
If you're on Fox News, you must be a conservative. If you're on CNN, you must be a liberal.
Yeah,
and MSNBC, this may be a symptom of that. I always thought was a horrible thing for the country.
I completely agree. I like I said, I keep going back to the Larry King Live analogy. It's kind of weird, but I don't think a show like that would either a show like that wouldn't be on today, or it would be a huge hit because people would love to get back to that. I think there's a huge center in this country that's being lost. I think the Democratic Party has moved too far to the left. The Republican Party has moved too far to the
right. Absolutely. And they used to fight for the center. It used to be the closer you get to the center, the better your chances were for winning.
Right.
And George Wallace, people like that complained that you couldn't put a thin dime between the Democrat and Republican Party. Well, that's because they rejected George Wallace and his views. And instead, they were going for where the center of the country was, which was a healthy thing at the time. And now we have this divergence where we have very left wing and very right wing and all too little in between.
And that's I really would love to have people who snip at you off either on social media or in the privacy of their houses. Come on, let's talk.
I would love to
talk with Senator Garrett about a whole bunch of things and have a respectful conversation. Prue could still come on. Talk about what your mayoral.
Unless Prue can get something out of it, she ain't going to come on. You know what?
I think she would get something out of it. She'd get respect from me.
Well, that'd be a long show.
You can check that off of her life's goals, the bucket list.
Respect from a guy she didn't know who the hell was and came up and badmouthed her.
So the point is, hey, Montgomery, hey, Jason, hey, whoever the mayor is, we're everybody's friend when you need something. But when you get what you need, it's like bye-bye. Hey, if Lake Forest won't come on, Lake County will. Highwood will come on. Mattawa will come on. So Jason, Lina, the principal, Montgomery, the superintendent, keep doing what you're doing. Montgomery, I give him what, 2 years tops that he's going to be around until he goes.
I don't want to hear from the superintendent as much as I want to hear from the elected school board members.
Yeah, I want to hear from too. Yeah, right.
I don't elect a superintendent.
Yeah,
I elect school board members. I vote for school board members. You want my vote? Talk to me. Talk to us. Yeah. Talk to the community. Thousands of voters are watching this.
Yeah.
I will tell you the
problem was we did have a contested school board election a couple of years ago, and the current
everything's contested. Won.
They won by a fair amount, and the result has been they don't feel that they have any need to answer to the voters because the voters, frankly, aren't paying any attention, which is very sad, but unfortunately, I think true. We have in Illinois so many elected officials, so many different governments, that the result is an average citizen doesn't even try to pay attention.
Well, yeah, we have.
You think you have problems with the school board? I got to deal with the judiciary. Okay, the same voters who know nothing about who they are voting for, they select the judges, and they are doing a terrible job of it. And we are now suffering from that. I will tell you, in Lake County, that we have had a lot of turnover in the judiciary, and it has not been for the better. Our appointed judges, there's two kinds of judges. There's associate judges who are appointed. There are circuit judges who are elected. And the circuit judges then appoint the associate judges. You would think that the circuit judges who are elected and are paid more and have more security would be the better judges.
Yeah.
They were, but they are no longer are. And this is an issue that we have to deal with in Lake County. The problem is the voters don't know what's going on, and they don't care. They're not paying attention. This is
if Lake Forest people won't come on, then we have to make our own assumptions and allegedlies and hypotheticals and all that. So I'm done playing the games with these people. I'm gonna You know how I'm going to get my news? Through the FOIAs. And you know what? I'm going to get really good at narrowing down on the FOIAs, and that's what I'm going to talk about here. Then we'll see if anybody, you know, comes on the show. And until then, if somebody doesn't come on to me, they're hiding something. So that's unfortunate.
And I think it's really, it's also unfortunate is if someone doesn't come on because someone else was on and said something they don't agree with. That's really, you know, or calling somebody and saying, don't go on that show because they had.
And it's a liberal calling it. It's a liberal calling another liberal. That's what's happening.
That's cancel culture on steroids.
Yes, it is. That is what we're talking about here.
Well, that's what's happening.
Once again,
we're going to allow anybody.
Conservatives can only talk to conservatives. Liberals can only talk to liberals.
Yeah.
Anybody can come on. We'll hear them out. Anthony Vega and Leon Rockingham were on.
Well, even better. Who did we screw over on this show that came on? Who did we, like, disrespect? Anybody?
No, nobody that I've seen.
But at the end of the day, people want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear Dan Dorfman. They don't want to hear Jonah Meadows, the marketing pieces for the city, right? Melissa Oakley, okay, great. You get your one side out there, so you guys get your votes and your money. Okay, till then. There's us, the Down and Dirty Podcast. And if you don't like what we're saying, we're wrong, then please come on board.
You don't have to listen to us.
Don't.
Somebody else will.
Somebody else will.
Somebody else will.
John Rick, man, thanks for dealing with these less than ideal circumstances. But look, at the end of the day, the show must go on. We got our listeners and viewers out there, and it's a slow time. And if it's a slow time, Jason, superintendent, past mayors, caucus people, school board members, any board members, reflect and think, what are you benefiting by not coming on, by not telling the truth? All right, guys, take care.
The Lake Forest Podcast is supported by viewers, listeners, and businesses just like you. Looking for the best pool supplies? Look no further than Doheny's Pool Supplies. With a history dating back to 1967, this family-owned business offers everything families need to keep their pools clean and sparkling, from chemicals to equipment. Plus, customers enjoy free shipping on all orders. Visit Doheny's Pool Supplies today at doheny.com, DOHENY.com, to learn more. Forest Bluff Real Estate Team serves Illinois, Wisconsin, Lake Forest, and Lake Bluff. John Josephitis, Laura Lee Van Fleet, and of course, Michelle Parnell. Get a free market analysis now at ForestBluffRealEstate.com. For the best cannabis in the world, look no further than Iliad Epic Grow. Owned by Lake Bluff's own Rich Ruzich, they are a cannabis cultivation center focusing on hard-to-find small-batch products that will delight both the occasional user and gangier. When visiting Michigan, ask for it by name. Epic Products, exceptional process. For more information, email info@iliadgrow.com. Havy Communications has been helping first responders arrive safely since 1983. It's owned by Lake Forest's own Mike Havy. Check them out at HavyCommunications.com. We'd also like to say we're thankful for our Patreon supporters. Matt A., Elizabeth C., Costa, Lance, Otto, RDM, John C., and Helen. Shout out to the Lake Forest Breakfast Group, Rod Stop and Captain Mike's in Kenosha, the Greentown Tavern, and the Frolic Lounge in Waukegan.